Our next guest is standing by, maybe at the University of Dayton Arena. That's where they'll be playing tonight in the nightcap. The first game will be Fairleigh Dickinson and Prairie View A&M. Then the nightcap, it'll be the team not far from where we are, just down the road at the Curb Event Center, campus of Belmont. But we know the Bruins are in Dayton to take on Temple. And their play-by-play man is on the line with us, Harry Donahue. Harry, how you doing?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Well, we're anticipating tonight's matchup, even though we'll be here in this arena. We'll be keeping very, very close tabs. It's going to be just after 8 o'clock our time. This thing is going to tip, and we're very curious to see how this game is going to play out.
Like everybody else. Actually, I think Vegas has – Belmont is a, what, three-and-a-half-point favorite.
Yep.
And I don't know if that means too much to the partisans that follow each team, but, you know, it's going to be a struggle. It's not going to be, you know, a blowout game, I don't think, for either one of these two teams.
And what is it, what has Fran Duffy been meant to the Temple program since he's been the coach? We know that whenever this ends, that's going to be it for him. What has he meant over the years to the Owls?
Well, a lot of things, both on and off the court. I mean, Franny's a Philadelphia guy. He played in his college ball at LaSalle, which is one of the Big Five schools. He coached at the University of Pennsylvania for 17 years, coached at Temple now for 13 years. No other coach has won as many games in Big Five history as Fran Duffy has at Penn and at Temple. And for him to get back to the tournament in his final year, as you mentioned, certainly is a nice feather in his cap, although he'd be the last person to admit that probably, because Fran is, shall I say, a humble guy. He's not a real emotional guy, except sometimes when he gets on his players, especially in practice. But he's meant a lot to the school. He's a great ambassador. He's done so much, as I say, off the court in terms of what he does year after year, raising money for Coaches Versus Cancer. He's nationally respected by his peers for what he does with Coaches Versus Cancer. And in terms of X's and O's, I think to a man, college basketball coaches around the country admire what Fran Duffy has done.
Well, one thing that jumps out to me as you talk about him, because I can remember vividly him bringing a Pennsylvania team into Memorial Gym to play Vanderbilt in the Christmas tournament. I don't think we actually went head-to-head with Penn, that I think about it, but you can, the three schools, the school he attended, and then you look at Penn in the Ivy League, Temple, three schools in the same city, basically, but all three very different schools. So I think that speaks a lot about Coach Dunphy's ability to adapt to different schools, the way it goes, different types of kids that you coach through the years. I think that just says a lot.
Yeah, it does. He was a great player in college. He played on a great LaSalle team back in the late 60s that, because of, they were on probation at the time from something a previous coach had done, they were unable to go to the NCAA tournament. And if you guys know anything about Philadelphia Big Five history, most people, and I was around as a college student myself back in those days, although I went to St. Joe's, which is another member of the Big
Five. So now we've got four of the five represented, right?
Yeah.
Now we just need a Villanova person.
Also has a degree. He has a degree from Villanova.
Oh, there you go. Now we're five for five.
So we touched all the bases plus one. But, you know, that team at LaSalle that he played on in 1969, a lot of people will say was the best Big Five team ever. Okay, so that gives you an idea as a player what he was able to do. Then at Penn, he won several Ivy League championships. He won a couple of Atlantic 10 championships as a coach at Temple before going to the American Athletic Conference, and he was coach of the year in the American twice. So, I think no doubt about it. He has left his mark wherever he has gone to whatever institution he's gone.
When I look at these teams, we know Belmont's strength is going to be their scoring. And when I look at Temple, it looks like their defense. So something's got to give. Is that a fair assessment of these two teams when you think about their strengths?
Well, yeah, teams have had a tough time holding Belmont under 90 points, right? So obviously Temple has to be concerned defensively how the game goes and what they do to, you know, shut down arguably one of the top players in the country, and the rest of his teammates able to score, what, 87 points a game. So, you know, pace of play, not that they can slow it down so much, but just, you know, be in the right place at the right time defensively and make sure they're on the shooters.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are they to, you know, we saw it here at the SEC tournament exactly where we're sitting, Auburn. They just would launch three-pointer after three. I mean, 40 three-pointers in the championship game here on Sunday. Now, Belmont is probably not going to launch 40, but they are certainly not afraid to throw up the three. How has Temple defended the three all year?
Well, they've had lapses at times. You take a kid like Jeremiah Martin at Memphis. I think he got them for eight the last time we played Memphis. The other night in a loss to Wichita State in the conference postseason tournament against Wichita State. Their top scorer also, I think, hit for seven threes. So the perimeter defense at times has been a little wobbly, shall we say. I think tonight against a kid that is known for shooting three-pointers as well as Dylan Windler does. You're going to see maybe not a kid that matches up size-wise with him at, 6'8", but brings everything defensively. Temple's best, I think, shutdown defender is a 6'4 guard by the name of Nate Pierre-Louis. And I would expect to see Nate Pierre-Louis at least most of the time being matched up against Dylan Windler.
We're talking to Harry Donahue. He is the play-by-play voice of the Temple Owls, going head-to-head with the Belmont Bruins tonight, getting the tournament going in Dayton in the first four. And, Harry, I'd love for you to talk about the American Athletic Conference because, you know, it doesn't get a lot of fanfare, but it was a very, very deep league. I got a chance to watch some of the games in that conference tournament. Memphis very nearly pulled off the win against Houston. They made it very tight at the end. Of course, Wichita State gets all the way to the final. So you had a lot of teams that maybe are not on the main radar, but that league is as good as a lot.
I'll tell you what, and it's getting better. You mentioned Memphis. Penny Hardaway, of course, in his first year as head coach to the Tigers, and Penny is an icon, having played at Memphis State and then going on to the NBA for several years. Now he's back in his first year as head coach. I believe he has the number one recruit coming in next year, a local kid from Memphis, a seven-footer. He's probably going to be a one-and-done. But Memphis is going to be a top 20 team next year. I don't think there's any question about that. Houston, Kelvin Sampson, what more can you say? What is he, a three-seed in the tournament this year? Only lost a couple games. Temple was actually lucky enough to beat them in our first meeting. We lost down in Houston, but our first meeting in Philadelphia, we did beat them. And handed them their first loss. Cincinnati, Mick Cronin does a great job. I think he's one of five schools that has gone to the tournament now 10 years in a row. So you can always count on Mick and Cincinnati to be in the national picture. And then you've got Wichita State and Greg Marshall. This was a rebuilding year for him. Down the stretch, I think they won 10 of their last 12 games. So Wichita State, Memphis, Cincinnati, Houston, and, you know, who knows who else in that conference. UCF, Johnny Dawkins had a great team this year. They made the tournament. So this is going to be, I think, in the future. We got four teams in from the American this year. I think this is possibly going to be a four or five, possibly even six-team conference down the road as you look at what's happening in the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, good stuff for sure. Tell us about Shiz Alston. He's a, you know, a senior. He is one of the guys that certainly makes Temple go. What makes him a good player?
Well, Shiz is a senior, as you mentioned. When you look at him, when he first came to – he grew up in Philadelphia. His father played for John Chaney at Temple, so he was no stranger around the building. But to look at Shiz in his freshman year, he's sort of a skinny 6'2 shooter, didn't play much as a freshman, but has just gotten better by the game. And he's the co-leading scorer in the American Athletic Conference. He is a perimeter shooter. He can also take it to the rim. He gets to the free throw line more than anybody on the team, and he shoots it at 91% when he does get to the line.
Wow.
He's the kind of kid that wants the ball in crunch time. So if it comes down to a final shot at the end of the half or at the end of the game or whatever the situation may be, 9 times out of 10, Shiz Alston is going to have the ball, and he's going to create a shot. whether he's gone to the basket or whether he's out on the perimeter using a screen from one of his teammates to get off a good look. He is a scorer and has a scorer's mentality, averaged about 20 points a game. As I mentioned, co-leading scorer, along with Jeremiah Martin from Memphis in the American Conference. And he's a great ball player. Does he have a future in the NBA? Maybe a stretch, given his size, his build, and whatnot. But I'll tell you what, he's one hell of a college basketball player.
Harry, really appreciate you doing this. I can't tell you good luck. I'm just not allowed to do it. But really appreciate the info.
I understand. All's fair in love and war.
Well, go in all seriousness. Enjoy the game. We'll certainly be keeping a lot of eyes, and Middle Tennessee will be on that game tonight. So thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. That is Harry Donahue. He is Temple basketball play-by-play man. And, of course, that will be the nightcap game in Dayton.